With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
KFI AM 640. It is a Friday morning, January 21. Some news that has broken this. Well, yesterday it was Meatloaf that we heard had died at the age of 74. Meatloaf, one of the top rock stars out there for a very long, long time. Bat Out of Hell, I'd Do Anything for Love, and he died at 74. And Louis Anderson is just reported dying also. And that just happened. He'd been battling cancer. He had COVID, too. And so he's, that's not good news, you know, two figures that are or were well-loved. Steve Gregory is with us. And Steve, tomorrow.
Good morning.
Well, you didn't let me finish my introduction.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So here we go. Steve, tomorrow evening from 8 to 10 o'clock, Unsolved. And those are unsolved cases. And also some new information released in terms of crime stats. Now, Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
There we go. So let's talk about the crime stats.
Well, crime stats, first of all, L.A. County attended a kind of a state of the county, if you will, with L.A. County Sheriff Ian Nueva. And he says over the last 2 years, he used a metric of 2 years from 2019 to 2021. Homicides are up 93.79%.
So they're almost double.
Yeah. So in 2019, there were 145. In 2020, 199. And last year, 281 homicides. And he said that's probably the most significant climb and jump in homicides in decades. He also talks about the fact that it's a combination of two things, what he considered political reform measures, you know, your Prop 47s, AB 109s, and also the pandemic. He said the pandemic really did a number on people, and it really, you know, it caused a lot of problems. And he just said that it's a mixture of those two things. Another significant jump, Grand Theft Auto. In 2019, there were 9,000, a little over 9,700. In 2020, a little over 12,500. And last year, a little over 15,500 vehicles stolen in L.A. County. Yep. That's a jump of 59.42%.
Yeah, I want to throw a political question at you if I can. And that is, when you look at the actual numbers as a percentage of people, I mean, it is just a drop, not even, when you talk about 200 or 300 murders in L.A. County. Now, how many people actually live in L.A. County? What, 8 million people maybe?
Well, 11 million in the county.
Okay, so out of 11 million people, we have 300 murders, of which how many are gangbangers and targeted victims? I would say a good percentage, right?
Well, the majority of them are gang-related. And what we're seeing also in the county is a very large number of homeless crime and homeless suspect crime. So a lot of homeless individuals committing crimes. and a lot of homeless people being the victims of crime, homicide.
Right. And the point I'm making is the chances of someone being murdered are infinitesimal versus an auto accident, which can happen to any of us at any time. The importance of these stats, is that more political to get more money for police departments? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, it could be used. It's used for a number of ways. I mean, you got to give a state of the county, and sure, it could go to the argument that, see, homicides are up. This is why we need more detectives. And in this particular case, the sheriff said, you know, his homicide bureau alone has been decimated by budget cutbacks, and their solve rate, meaning how many times they solve cases, how many numbers of cases they solve, is down at an all-time low because they just don't have the people to respond. And the issue or the notion is, you know, here's the state of crime in Los Angeles County. What we do with it, let the public know. Is there outrage? Are people like shrugging their shoulders going, "Yeah, okay, out of 11 million, like you say, is 300 that many?" But in his particular case, he's doing it, as he says, to illustrate the point that part one crime, which is your murders and your assaults and violent crime, is up. It continues to go up. Something's got to change. So what was different 2 years ago than today? And that's partly what he's trying to illustrate is, do we need to do something different? Is that in the form of funding, intervention, get guns off the street? It's basically a roadmap to the future of law enforcement.
So, I mean, obviously you follow these stats, and a big part of your show, Unsolved, has to do with murders that are, strangely enough, unsolved. And as a percentage, let's say out of 300 murders that occurred last year, how many are solved? What's the percentage of arrests and the cops closing the case because they found the bad guy?
Well, right now, the solve rate is at last he said was 37%.
That's pretty bad.
I want to be clear, it has nothing to do with the skill of the homicide individuals or the homicide bureau. It has everything to do with resources. The fact that they can't, you know, you've got very few people to cover the entire county.
So when the police, the LA Sheriff's Department in this case, receives a case where they go ahead and have virtually no evidence and ask the public, if you have a tip or you have any information, call whatever. At what period of time do they just simply say, you know what, we're giving up and we're going to give this to Steve Gregory? How often does that happen, again, as a percentage?
Well, that's a good question. When they look at this and they get a murder, like you figure, and think of something more recently, they're always putting out a call for help, always. For the public to pitch in on something. There are so many of those happening. We get one or anywhere from one to three every day about some sort of a crime, a violent crime or a homicide that they need help solving. And we get an alert about information for a shooting. I mean, I get alerts about homicides at LA County Sheriff's Department every day. I mean, there is constantly some sort of call to action, if you will. So what happens is if they get to a point where they've just run out of leads, active leads, they literally have to put that off to the side, go to the next one, because every detective has a stack of files. It's not like in the movies where they focus on one case all day long or one case all week long. You know, they've got a stack of multiple homicides and multiple murders they're dealing with at one time. Mm. When they can't, work on one, they go to the next one. They just keep going around until something pops on one of these cases and they go back to it.
Okay. Let's take a break. I want to come back and talk about the show, Unsolved, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, because that's always interesting. We'll be right back with Steve Gregory. This is KFI AM 640. Jennifer. And good morning. Bill Handel here. Friday, January 21. And let's go straight back to Steve Gregory and Steve's show, Unsolved, from 8 to 10 tomorrow night. And it's all about crimes that are, interestingly enough, unsolved. Love the title there, Steve. It just says it all, doesn't it?
Sums it up, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's just a well-described show. So And it could be called the Steve Gregory Show because you cover that stuff anyway. Let's talk about the show, what's been happening lately, and just the latest, because we talk about it Friday all the time.
Yeah, sure. You know, I just am still overwhelmed by the response we've been getting, not just from the public, but from law enforcement. And now we've got so many cases that are coming in, both from detectives. We've got people calling us that want us to help shine a light on a case involving a family member. You know, we've got, I think we have four cases right now that involve some sort of a family member or a loved one, an unsolved case. And now we've got detectives calling us. We're speaking with the FBI today or next week to start doing some of their cases. We've gotten permission now from Washington, D.C. to talk about some unsolved cases in the U.S. Forest Service. And they've got an investigative unit as well. We're going to be doing Los Angeles City Fire, unsolved arsons. We've got a really interesting next season coming up. And for this show tomorrow night, we're going to be doing the Black Dahlia. Do you know that 75 years ago this week, Bill, 75 years ago this week is when they found the body of Elizabeth Short in an area near Leimert Park, completely cut in half, drained of all of her blood and fluids, and it still remains one of the most complicated and notorious cases in the history of Los Angeles and the LAPD.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so that's what we're going to focus on tomorrow. The entire 2 hours we spend with a retired LAPD detective who not only knows this case inside out, but also knows who the killer is.
Okay, and that's the question I want to ask you and bring up, and that is there have been hundreds of books written about this case, and you've got dozens of people who have solved this case, or at least said they solved the case. It has to do with, you know, the argument. It's much like what happened during the Jack the Ripper time, where it has to be a surgeon. It had to be a doctor, the way she was cut. So have we gotten any further in 75 years? I mean, when you talk about you're interviewing someone who has solved the case, I mean, do you believe that that person has solved the case?
I do. I mean, based on what he's saying, and I have no reason to disbelieve him, but here's the crazy twist to it. He describes tomorrow night why he thinks it was his father that killed her.
Oh, yes. I interviewed him years ago, but obviously you're going to get a lot more information. And at one point, they lived in Los Feliz in the house that was designed and built by Wright, the famous architect.
Yeah, exactly.
The Mayan house. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, you're right, and that's the retired LAPD detective we'll be talking with tomorrow night for the entire 2 hours. In fact, he's got more information than we have time, so we're going to have to dedicate another show because he also thinks his father's responsible for a number of other murders similar to this.
Yeah, and his dad was a doctor, correct?
Yes, and it's weird, Bill, because when he's telling me the story, the first person or image that popped in my mind was Hannibal Lecter. Because he described his father as ultra genius, scored off the charts when it came to an IQ test. He was a brilliant surgeon, but he had some very dark proclivities behind closed doors. And this is the stuff we're going to talk about tomorrow night. And the way he found out about it, too. He actually set out to clear his father's name and ended up basically indicting his father.
Yeah.
But he also clarified that the case is solved. And that he read documentation about, Chief Bill Parker, William Parker, and the DA at the time both declared the case solved. It just wasn't cleared. It's a big difference in the LAPD's distinction as other law enforcement. A case can be solved, but it's not cleared off the books yet because they don't have it wasn't adjudicated. So it's solved, but not cleared.
And we talked about this, and this is a case, frankly, I'm surprised that it wasn't the first case you did on unsolved because it is that interesting and that.
Well, the only reason we did it this week was because this January 15th marks the 75th anniversary.
Okay.
So we wanted to commemorate the 75th anniversary this Saturday, fit into the time frame. And then next week will be our season finale, and then we've got a lot of other shows we're going to do, and we're actually going to be starting taping live shows with a studio audience. So that's coming up too.
But on the lot of plans going there. All right, Steve, thank you. Tomorrow night from 8 to 10 p.m., Unsolved. Steve, you have a good one. Coming up, it's Handle on the News Late Edition, and it is a super segment. No commercials between the bottom and the top of the hour. And as I've said many times, I know our listeners are devastated that we're not going to break that half hour with a commercial break. This is KFI AM 640, and let's check in with Jennifer.
Handle on the News. Late Edition.
Handle on the News.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
You bet. It's Friday morning, January 21. And we've got a lot of Handle on the News Late Edition we're going to talk about. And it's going to be a full, basically a full half hour because there are no commercials at the middle where the spot break where we normally go. So
what kind of segment is that called, I wonder?
I think I did say super segment, didn't I? I said that earlier.
Earlier you did, yes.
Okay. It's a super segment, which means it is not only a segment, but it's super. And that means no commercials until the top of the hour. See how that works?
Handle all of your segments are super.
There you go. You got the job already. You don't have to say that, okay? All right. Let's go right into it. Handle on the News Late Edition, a super segment. Lead story. Well, news that broke, Jennifer broke just a few hours ago, a couple, 3 hours ago, that Louis Anderson has died after a battle with cancer at 68. Of course, the top, I guess, A-list comedian, I would put down, pretty famous. And it's on top of the announcement yesterday that Meatloaf died. Meatloaf, the famous rock star, also an A-list rock star. He performed Bat Out of Hell and I'll Do Anything for Love. I mean, instantly recognizable. And ironically, both were very heavy. And that's just interesting. A rock star who weighed 250 or 300 pounds, very unusual. And a comedian weighing 250, 300 pounds, also unusual.
Less unusual.
It is less unusual. You're right. Certainly in the rock star world, you know, very few. Joe Cocker was, he wasn't heavy?
No.
Thought he was.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But Louis Anderson also made a lot of headlines because he did intermittent fasting through the pandemic. And it was this thing. He lost like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So right here toward the end, he was losing weight. But I don't know if that made a difference, 40,
but 40 pounds, you know, having been heavy all my life, 40 pounds does not look like 40 pounds when you weigh 180 pounds and lose 40. And one of the things about Louis Anderson, which I always admired, is he was very upfront about his weight. And in serious interviews, because he talked about his weight during his comedy routine, but also in interviews, he talked about dealing with his weight his entire adult life, or even his kid, his childhood. So, you know, and dead at 68, boy, is that young. I talked this morning about Meatloaf, dead at 74. Boy, is that young. So let's just move on. Bad news we start with on the deaths.
Also, we've got the winds coming in today. The Santa Ana winds take effect at 3 in the Santa Monica Mountains, Santa Clarita, San Fernando Valleys. This warning stays in effect until 3 tomorrow.
Ugh, gusts up to 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. And how's the humidity out there?
I don't have a read on that, but the good news is that the temperatures will be low,
which is good. I mean, you combine the three perfect storm aspects of weather, fire, or wildfire risks: low humidity, hot weather, and the winds.
My temperature right now is reading 31 degrees or 31% humidity, which is not terrible.
No, that's still pretty low. I mean, it's not in the teens, which we've had,
but
our average, keep in mind that Southern California is at about 50%, and that's what makes it absolutely perfect, which is why everybody moves into Southern California, particularly, right? I hate one of the things I hate about the Rose Parade is here it is. All of America is watching the Rose Parade. It's 80 degrees outside. People are in shirt sleeves. And then here's people in Buffalo, New York, watching on TV, and they can't leave the house because the snowdrifts go above their roof line.
And what do you hate about that?
That just means more people move in.
Oh, that when we broadcast to the rest of the country.
Yeah, they're going, oh, we're moving.
I think they know already. I know what I'm saying?
All it is reinforcement. That just puts it on the front burner.
Got it.
It's effectively saying, move, move, move. And then you have the TV flashing, so psychologically you're dealing with, gotta move.
But then guess what happens? Gotta move. Gets fought by houses are $1 million.
Vice President Harris, speaking of wildfires, will be in San Bernardino today. She'll be with the Secretary of Agriculture, and they're going to talk about ways to combat wildfires across the state. Two of the things that they are supposed to announce is $1.3 billion in disaster relief funding for the U.S. Forest Service, and that includes $600 million for California.
Hey, one of the things about Kamala Harris, and of course politicians do that whenever there's good news to be had, they do the press conference. But she's not particularly popular, Kamala Harris. I mean, she doesn't have a real following. And don't you hate now that vice presidents are chosen first for their political stature? You know, you have to have a woman, you have to have an African-American woman.
Mean their demographic.
That's what I meant. That's true. But also their political situation in terms of their demographic. And after that comes qualifications. When is the last time someone was actually chosen purely for qualifications? And I think it very well have been Joe Biden, who had that vast experience in the Senate.
There was no demographic political calculation there, though?
I don't think so.
You mean as vice president?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there was. Because you had the black candidate, a younger guy. You don't think part of it was let's get an older, established, long-term white guy
to
broaden the appeal of this ticket?
No, I don't think so. I think if it was first qualifications. That was number one. And John McCain, we have to have a young woman. We have to have it from a conservative state, so we get Sarah Palin. Thank you for that.
Put you on the spot. Who, in your opinion, just an opinion, was less qualified to be a vice president, Sarah Palin or Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris.
Wow. Probably Sarah Palin.
All right.
Do
you really feel Kamala Harris, like on paper, was not qualified?
No, it's just watching her speak, her demeanor. She's as far from presidential, I think, as you can get. That's my take on it. So anyway, the point is she is, which everybody does, by the way. I'm not signaling her out for saying, hey, here's the money we're going to spend for wildfires. Here's what the feds are going to do for California. So that's typical politics. But, you know, the rest of it, I have a very hard time. You know, the political correctness. Talking about political correctness, I've got a political correctness story at 9:20. That is a stunner. I didn't think you could get more political correct than we are. Oh, I have one for you. Whoa.
Hey, a new bill would allow children as young as 12 to get vaccinated without their parents' consent here in California. The youngest age of any state. Then you got to put the asterisk next to what I just said, because Washington, D.C. actually allows kids to get vaccinated at age 11 without consent. But they're not a state.
Right.
Other states have this provision for minors, but it's a higher age. Alabama, it's 14. Yeah. Oregon, it's 15.
Aren't you surprised Alabama allows, 14-year-olds on their own?
Mm-hmm.
That is a state that I would not guess. Certainly Oregon, I would.
Yeah, because 14 in Alabama is
27. Yeah, that's true. You're getting married. Yeah, that's true. You're already a parent in many, many cases.
All right. China says the torch relay is going to only be limited to 3 days now because of concerns of COVID, of course. The flame will be displayed in an enclosed venue that they say will be safe and controllable. No public transit routes will be disturbed. Normal life will continue. So they're not going to do the big hullabaloo that they normally do, because they just want to keep it as small and as, you know, controlled as possible.
You're going to see the entire Olympic Games controlled like that, all because of COVID. And they have the power to do it because it's a single party system. You're going to see, you watch, you're going to see these runners run with a couple of guys right next to them with the fire extinguishers. You're going to see an entire different way of at least the torch ceremony.
Oh, no, Bill, I'm so sorry. Adele's long-awaited Las Vegas residency has been postponed. About half of her team and crew have come down with COVID. They just were not able to put it all together in time. Tickets for this thing went as high as $30,000 a seat on the secondary market. I mean, yeah, obviously not direct box office
but
price.
Here's the question. It's not like a Super Bowl that happens once a year and you're going to pay astronomical money. She was going to be there, or she signed to be there from this month to April.
Yes.
You think you can get a ticket and not pay 30 grand for it?
Can you get a ticket? Yes. Not pay 30 grand. You know how the ticket thing works. The secondary sellers, scalpers, they snatch them all up.
Yeah.
So it might not be possible to get a direct from the box office ticket.
Oh, I think, it's going to be much easier because these various venues are making a major move to keep scalpers out.
They're doing the best they can.
Yeah. But
we're off the point. Everybody was ready today.
Yeah.
Tonight, she would have taken the stage at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. And she won't for a while, and we don't really know when it'll be rescheduled.
And I'm sure she gets $2 million a performance.
Well, I've got a cut from her. Sure. She did a video last night on social media, and I think her words were she was gutted. Listen to just a clip.
We've been awake for over 30 hours now trying to figure it out, and we've run out of time, and I'm so upset, and I'm really embarrassed, and I'm so sorry to everyone.
I mean, her voice is quivering. She's crying.
Upset, but yeah. She's almost taking blame for it because her crew got COVID.
She said that almost half of her crew ended up with COVID. So they were scrambling to try and come up with some sort of plan. But she said after 30 hours, we've been up and we just can't come up with anything. I felt really badly for her, honestly.
Yeah, especially since I'm assuming that she's not going to get her $2 million per show until next couple of weeks.
I think she'll be okay.
I think so, too.
I don't think she'll need a payday loan or
tide her
over.
All right, so maybe a bit of a boost. California water districts are going to get more supply than was planned. And more supply, I mean some of them weren't supposed to get any. And now they will get some districts 15% of what they requested for 2022. That's still better than zero. And that was the first time the state had ever issued an initial water allocation of nothing. But thanks to last month's storms, we're going to get a little bit.
All right, so we're going to do better this rainy season. I mean, we already have. I mean, we're above average anyway. But we're still considered in serious drought long term. And hopefully the rains, maybe this year. But you have to have rain through this month, through next month, through March, and pretty heavy rains in order to come near filling the reservoirs and back to, okay, let's start the drought all over again, which is no doubt going to happen.
I was listening to this meteorologist from the National Weather Service, and he made a really good point. He said, we are barely at the halfway mark of winter. And actually, the storms that we got in December, we weren't supposed to get. It was because of a stall or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But we were not supposed to get that much rain. So there is the chance that there will be another stall or something like that. And we will get an exorbitant amount of rain that we're not expecting.
Right. But that's an outlier situation. Aberrational. Because long term, how many rainstorms do we get that we're not supposed to get? Not many.
Right. Not many.
There's nothing that could happen in a 12-month period that ends the drought problem.
Right.
Right.
The drought problem ends if we get years and years of appropriate rainfall, which I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen.
Or we get rain like Ketchikan. I think it's Ketchikan that has the most rainfall, 400 and something inches of rain per year.
Alaska. Yes, but 1 year of that wouldn't get us out of the long-term drought problem,
I don't know,
is what I'm saying. There's only so much water the reservoirs can hold and the ground can hold.
I don't know, 450 inches of rain. I mean,
you got a lot of big buckets in your yard.
I know. You know that the only way they can grow grass is to put it on top of gravel. It has to drain, otherwise it drowns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious.
Oh, a guy's got 2 years in the federal pokey for stealing and smuggling plants. This is actually a massive problem. The foreign market for certain indigenous plants here in California is huge. And so people will come here and they'll go into state parks and onto state beaches where these things grow. They dig them all up and they try to sneak them out of the country. And that's what this guy did with over 3,700 of this type of succulent plant called a Dudleya.
Yeah, Dudleya. I've never heard of that, a Dudleya. But I think that goes to like how many... how many plants there are out there. I think of saguaro cactuses and Joshua trees that are protected. I guess there's a bunch of other ones out there.
Right.
All right. Netflix, the stock has gone down because people are worried about subscriber growth. So Netflix added 8.3 million worldwide subscribers during October to December, but that's 200,000 less than management had thought would happen. Also, they've got a projected increase of 2.5 million subscribers during the first 3 months of this year, but that's way below analysts' expectations. They were hoping for 4 million.
And they just raised their prices.
Yeah, yes. Another shot at it. Yeah, I know. They're no longer cheap at all. But why wouldn't the market recognize that, number one, COVID was there? We're talking about looking at it retroactively. And the fact that everybody stayed home. And therefore, streaming services were going to, membership were going to increase dramatically. And now people, well, they have 15 services available. We just added Peacock, for example. Why the hell would I do that? I never even heard of Peacock. Oh, they have a couple shows I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so everybody could anticipate this. So I don't know why all of a sudden the stock is low when you have a long-term plan. But anyway, the stock market, it reacts instantly, of course.
Because I think people are starting to see the writing on the wall for Netflix. Let's see if they're even around 5 years from now. They're the only... they used to be the only game in town.
Right.
And now, of course, there's everybody. And what happened? All the other streaming services are owned by big media companies that have vast treasure troves of intellectual property. Netflix doesn't have that. So they now are at a disadvantage compared to most of these other services. And I think I hear a lot of people saying, boy, there's just not that much on Netflix anymore. And their original stuff is 85% garbage.
Yeah, it takes to get a breakout hit. It doesn't happen that often. Still, Netflix is 122 million subscribers.
Yeah,
I know Disney Plus has about, 50 million, something like that? Or it started right out of the box, 50 million. And then, of course, as I said, Peacock. And then there's Acorn. And then there's Paramount Plus.
And then there's Hulu.
It's just
Amazon technically counts, even though it's bundled with Prime delivery service.
Right. Which, of course, makes a ton of sense. I mean, who doesn't like Prime Amazon? Not only for the delivery, but also for watching the content, which is actually pretty good. They have a couple of breakout hits, too.
And Handel, I have to tell you, my suggestion for you now that you have Peacock is Dr. Death. It's a series about a doctor in Texas that was performing these incredible surgeries, incredibly bad surgeries, and killing people and how he got away with it. And it's Josh Jackson from Dawson's Creek, Alec Baldwin, and I can't think of his name. Anyway, it's an incredible cast, greatest little mini series they've got on there.
That sounds good.
It's good. You'll love it. Yeah. I can't recommend it enough.
And Alec Baldwin actually kills people.
Stop it right now.
Wow. Whoa. No. You. No. That's a no.
Christian Slater. That's who else it is. Okay. Sorry.
U.S. banks have closed a record number of retail branches in 2021. Wells Fargo leading the charge, closing over 260. And this is because, I mean, obviously, the need for banking services doesn't drop off a cliff, but the need to go in to a place does.
Yeah, the whole thing is going to change. I mean, they're going to be, for example, brick and mortar stores are going to end up being showrooms, and that's it. And so the footprint will be far less. They're not going to be connected to a warehouse. It'll be a fulfillment center. It'll be delivered instantly, and it's a whole new world. You know, one of the biggest fleets out there, at least in the cargo business, Amazon. They have 100 and something planes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have you guys noticed, too, that even when you do go into a brick and mortar, a lot of times what is on the floor, they don't have in stock. So you still end up getting it sent to your home.
Yeah.
You still don't go home with
it. Yeah, but some people, but then again, if you are looking at a piece of clothing, you want to see what it looks like on you and how it fits, because you can never do that on the internet. And of course, you buy five of those and you find out which works and you send the rest back. But it's not the same.
Although the growth in augmented reality, I don't know if it's going to be too long before it is about the same, where you will be able to kind of, I mean, you won't be able to touch it. I guess you won't be able to get a sense of how it feels on your body,
but
you'll be have a good sense of how it looks on you as you move around.
That's important. Like when I buy my Costco shirts, for example, there's not really a there's no place to really change.
They don't have fitting rooms at Costco.
No, but people do. No, they use the dairy section, you know, that refrigerated room.
Oh, jeez.
And you simply go behind the milk cartons, and it works out fine.
Oh, my. That explains all the security response at the Costco every time you're there.
The Federal Reserve is looking at the pros and cons of introducing a digital dollar. So it would speed up, they think, electronic payments. And now it's asking the public to provide feedback over the next 120 days.
Yeah, except that cryptocurrency is not backed by any government. Is it just another way of pay with dollars? Which you already can do. Electronically,
yeah, I mean, you can electronically pay in United States currency almost anywhere. So I don't really know I don't know why the Federal Reserve
is
thinks
looking
that they want to get hip now with a digital currency.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Unless it's like USA loyalty bucks. Every time you vote, you get 500 loyalty bucks. Then you can use those for discounts at major retailers.
That's actually very funny.
Hey, if you want to use the IRS website for certain things, not everything, starting in the summer, you're going to have to register and give a video selfie through a third-party identification verification company, ID.me, which is a legitimate company. And this is, you know, to try to tamp down on fraud and also from somebody else getting into your IRS business by hacking into your account.
Yeah, I can see this happening where it's voice recognition, it's eye recognition, retinal recognition, face recognition, fingerprints, but done for identification purposes. I mean, obviously, they have to come up with a lot more security because of the crime out there.
Hey, I want to end on story 13, if that's okay.
Sure.
And this does come a warning. If you don't like a certain kind of long, slithering, legless animal, you turn down the volume
for
the
next show.
Turn down the volume for the next minute or so. A guy was found dead in his house. His neighbor hadn't seen him for a day, got concerned, went over, saw him there lying on the floor. You know, something happened medically. And the police came and they knocked down the door and there he is. No signs of foul play. And this would just be another story of somebody who passed away in their house, except he also had over 100 snakes in that house. Mm-mm. All kinds of snakes. Big ones, little ones, venomous ones, nice ones. To be clear, they weren't crawling all over the place. Every one of them was in some kind of a contained habitat, and they are going around the neighborhood now trying to calm everybody down.
Yeah.
Seriously, EMS is going around, police are going around. Calm down. They were all
now.
Caged,
do we know
or
what
terrarium.
Did he die of? I mean, he could have died of a heart attack.
No. There's no connection between why he died and the snakes. It's just that you go in to get a person who's passed away, and
there's
then you look
snakes.
Around, and there's 150 snakes in tanks all around you.
Yeah, so this isn't the same situation. I love the story of those biblical crazy people talking with serpents, that crowd.
Oh, like snake handlers?
Yeah, where they're swinging around a rattlesnake or another venomous snake, and they're praying, and the rattlesnake bites them in the eyeballs, and they wonder, oh, no, they know why they die, because God wanted them to die. And that is easy. You know, that's easy to rationalize. I like stories where people are bitten by snakes. This one isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. We're done with Late Edition. Now, I want to share with you a story that's actually labeled, or the headline is The Ticking Swine Bomb. And what does that mean? Oh, yeah. What do pigs eat other than you? And I will talk, you know, they'll eat anything. You know, pigs, you throw a dead body in a, you know, pig yard and it's gone. We'll be back. And it's really a hell of a story. And it's local to California. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.